Get autographed copies of New York Times bestselling author Cynthia Bryan's books at www.starstyleradio.com. Get inspired and motivated to be your best self with Be the Star You Are, 99 gifts, and Be the Star You Are for teens. Buy cases at a deep discount to give away as gifts and premiums. Visit www.starstyleradio.com or call 925-377-STAR. 925-377-STAR. 925-377-STAR.
Look among the stars. Do you have a plan for your life? Do you know where you want to go? Are you looking to be happier, healthier, and wealthier while having more fun every day? Meet our healthy living coaches, Cynthia Bryan and Heather Brittany, as they engage in energetic exchanges with successperts, bringing you research, innovation, strategies, and techniques to strengthen your business and personal navigational skills for ultimate achievement. Be inspired, motivated, encouraged, and empowered. Lend us your ears right here on Star Style, Be the Star You Are. The party starts now.
Well, welcome, Power Partners. This is our informational playground, Star Style, Be the Star You Are, brought to the airwaves under the auspices of Be the Star You Are charity. We are your hosts. I'm Cynthia Bryan.
And I'm Heather Brittany.
And we are broadcasting live on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Well, today's show, we are going to be talking about lots of very interesting things. We'll talk about harvest and what the November Garden, by the way, happy November, has in store for you. For a lot of kids right now, they're applying to multiple colleges, and maybe that has nothing to do with your admission process. So we're going to see about if it's better to concentrate on a single year university that might offer you the best chance. So we'll talk about university admissions. But right now in T for Two, we're going to talk about food waste. And Heather is going to bring to you the facts of how much food we waste every year. The Miracle Moment is by Be the Star You Are charity. We are now doing Operation Hurricane Matthew Relief. If you would like to make a donation to help us with shipping and getting books to the children in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia, please go to bethestarur.org. Click on Hurricane Matthew Relief and you can help. This is by Ken Kesey. And you know, he was a peace advocate a lot, but well, he was from 1920s to 95, but also in the 70s. To be upset about what you don't have to waste is what you do have. So it's like, waste not. So Heather, let's talk about food waste, because
Yeah,
it's a huge problem. And people are just throwing things out that they don't need to. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, you probably know firsthand of how it's great to have animals and natural ways of compost, and I'll get to that stuff later, of so many little tips and ways you can try to save food. But we all know it happens that we go to the grocery store sometimes, a lot of times it's an impulse buy, that something looks, oh, that looks delicious, a squash, or maybe you think you're going to make guacamole, so you get avocados, tomatoes, cilantro, but by the time you get home, you don't want to eat that anymore. And like many things, we open the fridge, there's never anything to eat, but there's always that stuff there. And then about a week or two later, you look at it, and the tomato is squishy, the cilantro is slimy, the avocado is green, and there goes that. And you threw that away, and what, that can add up, especially with the cost of avocados, you know, anywhere from $5 to $10, and multiply that of how many times that happens. And they estimate that Americans, that we throw out one full bag of groceries for every four groceries we shop. And for a family of four, and now it all depends on where you shop, what kind of produce. I mean, if you're getting, and this isn't just produce, but if you're getting your things from specialty stores, you know there's definitely a food range, a cost range from Whole Foods versus maybe Food for Less. And anyways, what that adds up to about $1,500 for a family of four, but that can be much, much more. And it's amazing to think of how much food that we're wasting. And I know that's a big issue because we also know within America how there is a huge hunger issue, how we have so many kids that are going to school hungry. And we know that's one of the biggest things, especially for children, for growing minds and for education, as well as just people out there trying to save money. When you think about how wasteful that is, or other ways, how can you kind of help yourself? Because it seems like we all do this. And it isn't just vegetables. It can be very confusing. Sometimes things say best if sold by, you know, can sold by, best before this time, eat before.
Right, but it can last a lot longer.
Exactly. So many confusing labels, and we never really know. And, you know, some people say, oh, you can do it, you know, X amount of time afterwards. So here's some kind of a nitty-gritty and actually something to know that it's become such a big issue that we're aware of it. And they actually say about 40% of all food in the United States gets thrown away. And
that's
this is
really
still
sad.
This is food that's still edible. We're not talking about completely bad food. And even, we'll get to that soon, about stuff that maybe has reached its prime, but ways you can kind of help and save with that too. First thing, proper buying food at home and storage, it all starts with yourself and your own sense of mind of when you go to the grocery store. So to help kind of fight this food waste epidemic, know yourself. Know if every time you buy blueberries, you know, maybe that first you want, you know, or you want a strawberry so bad, but you really just want one, before you know it, it gets mold on it and you throw it out. Kind of track your foods. See, okay, I bought squash. I bought a gallon of milk and I ended up having to throw out half a gallon 2 weeks later because I'm just not drinking as much as it. So kind of notice these things that you tend to be throwing out over time. Also, use every last little bit of things. You know this when you're cooking. When you kind of,
right.
You love, sometimes when we cut celery, we have that big chunk left over. People will just toss that. Clean it off and make, if you have a vegetable stew with it, you can, kind of season it and steam it up. It can become so much other things than just the thing you're going to use it for before. It can even be garnish within something. So it's endless with that. Make a food list when you go. It's inevitable that when you go, there's going to be those temptations. I know anytime I have a list, I always leave with so much more, but I have that core list, and I know that times when I go in there blindsided, I end up with everything else that I didn't, and a lot of impulse buys, a lot of things too, not even talking about fresh food. Sometimes, you know, if you've ever had that where you really do get to the bottom of your pantry, but there's that can of beans or something that's been in there for 2 years because that one day at the store you wanted Southwestern pecano beans or whatever it may be, and that yet you never eat it, no matter how many times when you look in your pantry and you just always pass by. And eventually things do go bad. So realize, are you really going to eat these things? Sometimes we have that exotic kind of flair, and maybe that can lead you to, if you end up with sort of this mix and match things, maybe those times to break out those dusty cookbooks that are becoming archaic, or Google something. There's just a plethora of recipes and fun ideas out there that you could do. Plan for parties. A lot of times, also at grocery stores, we'll get kind of tricked into, we'll see a price or something, it'll look like a bigger size, and it's a more expensive, but it seems like, wow, it seems so much more. Look at the bottom when it says what things are for per ounce or per paper or per whatever. Sometimes it can be very misleading that something that, though it may come with two bottles of something, is actually smaller bottles than the one bottle. And if you break it down, it would actually, if you were to buy those bottles individually, it would be cheaper than buying it in the double pack. So think about those things too. I know Costco can be awesome when you want to go and get all this stuff. But then if you're left, if you really aren't that person or have that big family to feed, this stuff is going to go to waste. So not only are you just wasting good food, but you're wasting financially as well. Time, probably the most confusing is best if used by, sell by. What does it all mean? And actually, it's kind of a lot deeper and confusing with that, because a lot of people mistake that and think that that is an FDA or the suggested. It's really, for example, for milk, it's a pasteurization. So when milk is sent off and it has something that says sell by XYZ date, date for milk is 21 to 24 days after it's been pasteurized. Now, that's not the same in every single state. So, for example, Montana, they are only allowed to sell their milk 12 days after. So, I mean, Montana must just have the most freshest milk because they're not allowed to sell milk after that right. date. Now, also what leads with that is you must think of the mass amount of milk that gets thrown out because places literally have to throw these things out. So being aware of that is to say, what's the difference between how come there it's 12 days versus 24? That's just for those own state laws. Sometimes dates are put on at the grocery store when things arrive that they believe this would be the freshest date, that you know this should only be good for X and Y to D. As we know with a lot of things, and things I grew up learning, our biggest key and our biggest sense of when things go bad, because we know sometimes we look at the date and we think, man, that was a week ago, but I didn't even open this, and, you know, shouldn't it be, it should still be good. Trust yourself. Our sense of smell is our greatest thing. If you smell something and it is not supposed to be funky blue cheese, if it smells funky, those are usually our good indicators. When you take that first smell, if you miss a smell and it gets to the tongue and it doesn't taste good, toss it. Trust yourself. Foodborne illness and sicknesses are not worth it. And that's also a common mistake. People think a lot of times because things have gone bad or and it's because of its natural thing, it's because bacteria oftentimes has got in over time. And it's something, too, if it is a product that's open and you've been smelling it a lot, you're actually creating bacteria that's getting it. When you put your nose close to things, all the crazy micro, teeny tiny molecules are getting into that. And especially dairy is one of the most susceptible for absorbing bacteria. And we also know for absorbing smells and other things in there. Things, too, if they get mold, are not necessarily bad. With cheeses, sometimes just cut off the cheese or cut off the bread. Be aware. If something has a funky texture to it or just slime, you know, just doesn't look that right, toss it. Or if you're very lucky enough that you have animals that actually enjoy that kind of more farm animals. But you probably have some great tips about making homemade compost. I know with coffee grounds, for example, those can really clog up your garbage disposals. And you'll know with citrus loving or acid loving plants, they love that. So you could put it on your roses, you put it on your lemons, taking that little after give, you know, your vegetables. Fruits and vegetables a little wake-up call, as you know, to be aware of certain things. You don't want to give them too much acidity if they are not acidic-loving plants. But that leads you to that a lot of times with vegetables or things, admit the misleading about things going bad. Don't judge books by how it's covered. Excuse me. Don't judge a book by its cover. We know a lot of times with vegetables, you're definitely going to go for the thing that looks, you know, that's ripe and juicy. For bananas, for example, when they start getting that brown outside, a lot of times it's very unappealing. Sometimes you peel it back and the banana is just as fresh as the one that was yellow. But it's hard to sell those things. So a lot of times, once they can't sell it, it just becomes garbage. And actually, the founder of Trader Joe's started this fantastic thing that in Lower, I think there are two or three kind of flagship grocery stores as of right now. And to think that if everyone knows Trader Joe's, which is sort of above the regular ones, but kind of a little bit lower than Whole Foods thing, but just that really fresh, on-the-go, great prices. And you always feel it's a really fresh and organic kind of view, is that he's teamed up as being very aware that these vegetables, things that they just can't sell because of aesthetically, that are still good, that may be still good for another week, edible, they just, you know, they don't have, they don't look as green as they used to. They don't have that pretty tint. Maybe the apple is a little bit bruised. Well, starting these vegetables, grocery stores that are all these fruits and vegetables that were unable to be sold, So they are on, you know, on a time thing that, and they too, they get them in there, but because they are so extremely discounted, it's, and they're being, these flagship stores are in, economically lower income areas. So not only is that helping people that financially it's already hard to put, a full meal on the table, to now to put actually healthy, nutritious fruits and vegetables at extremely discounted prices. Because we've talked about before that a candy bar is less expensive than an apple. And when people are trying to feed themselves and their children, they're, financially that's always an issue. But we know that sugars and carbs and processed foods not only are so terrible for our health, but just our thinking process, our brain, and especially growing brains of children, are really affected, that we need that those nutrients. It helps us in every single way. So that's just, I think, a fantastic thing of closing this gap with food waste. Oftentimes, too, make sure you're storing your food correctly in the fridge. We kind of all have these little compartments or things that might be easy access that over time, maybe that's just sort of how, you know, we all have these little places we put things, and it's kind of funny if you go to someone else's fridge, how they may put things in totally different spots. But being aware of where you put it. First off, one thing, if you have refrigerators that open up and have side little paneling, it's advised not to put dairy in those, because those doors tend to be opened and closed a lot, and they are going to have the temperature drop the most. And, you know, you need to keep dairy in the freshest amount. So on the door, something interesting enough, even though I just said dairy, butter is kind of that constant fight in the house with people, but butter is something that, though it is a form of dairy, because of the high solidity fat in it, can be kept at room temperature and be kept out without going rancid for a certain amount of time. So,
you know, I'm so glad you brought up butter, because I do think that's always a conflict in households. I know for me, having lived so many years in Europe, butter was always at room temperature, and I grew to love it that way, and that's the way I want it. But my husband is like, oh, that needs to be in the refrigerator. And then it's just awful. You get this hard lump, you know, and it also tastes like the refrigerators. And it's really true. Butter can be at room temperature, and I encourage it. And it's probably even healthier for you. I'm sure that by refrigerating it, compounds probably dissolve or something. I don't know.
Well, as we know, limit your butter amounts of all of it. Butter's on the spectrum thing, the probably one thing we probably need the least of in our pyramid. But healthy fats and oils, and actually that's something too, that oils can go rancid. There is that misunderstanding that oils, because a lot of time they don't have expiration dates on it, but oils can go rancid, and certain oils should be kept in the fridge. Certain oils should not, for example, olive oil should not be kept in the refrigerator, unless it's, you know, as a cheese, something that is being soaked in the olive oil. But certain cooking oils, especially sesame, soy oil, can go rancid. So be aware of those things, and where those should be kept is, or on the door, is a great place for that. Warmer upper levels of your refrigerator can be good for leftovers, of course, in their own container air-sealed packages, pudding snacks, cooler bottom shelves. That's a great thing for milk, eggs, raw meat. The humidity, the way you keep lettuce, all that stuff, the high humidity drawer should have broccoli, carrots, cauliflower, leafy greens, and the lower humidity drawers is where you'll want to keep your fruits, apples, avocados, grapes, even mushrooms. And then those little deli drawers, cheese, some deli meats, and hot dogs, hot dog if you can even consider that meat.
I agree.
And something to consider, too, is maybe your fridge just needs an upgrade, too. We just recently got a brand new fridge that we're digging all the bells and whistles about it, but it was about time. And we turned our other one into just a beer fridge. But I, years ago, had a fridge that not only financially was it so outdated, it was, I don't know, from the 80s or something, that my electric bill was out the roof. I think I almost had a $200 electric bill. And then when I got one of these, you know, a GE Smart or whatever it was, my bill dropped to like $30. And it was because of this thing, this old one, it was drawing out so much energy. Also, it was not storing things correctly. So I was constantly throwing out food. I would have milk that would go bad in a few days. I would have things that would sour and vegetables. So, you know, one of the things, get your, you know, fridge checked out. And interesting enough, a lot of programs offer things where they will give you either a huge rebate, or sometimes they will even pay for you, gas or the electric companies pay for you to have these upgraded systems. So not only is that great on your wallet, but that will save you money as well down the road with fruits and vegetables. How about for yourself? Do you have any little tricks and trades? I know I felt like, as here, not having any chickens yet, I hate when I'm throwing away leftover, you know, kind of the thing right. That no one's going to eat anymore. And I just think, oh, God, there's some animals that could eat this right now.
Yeah, well, I'm really, as you know, I take in abandoned animals. And so all of these animals, I have pig and goat and chickens and geese and rabbits and what else? Ducks, you know, birds, cats. And it's like all these animals can eat just about everything. But what I was going to say is, you were starting to talk, you know, you said about the coffee grounds and that.
Yeah.
Is that what I really loved it when you said use the entire vegetable. If any of you are like really foodies and you're into the restaurant scene, you're going to notice that so many restaurants these days are considered, especially if they use animals, you know, if they're doing a pig or a cow, they actually use every single part of the body, not the fur, obviously. And this is a real big trend now, so that, you know, if you have bones, you use the bones to make a stock in the soup. And with, just like Heather said, you have celery, you don't cut things off. You use it in some kind of a soup or some other dish or a puree or any of that. So I think we have to start looking at all the waste that we're doing. And then also know, like when you steam vegetables, that extra water, let it cool and put it out in your garden. It's filled with nutrients, and your own vegetables and flowers and everything will be thrilled to have all of that. So the whole idea is really think about what you're wasting. And as you said, Heather, when you go to the store, don't go to the store hungry. Go with a list and only buy what you need, and try to get back into the tradition of what people used to do, where they went to the store more often and they only bought what they needed. And then if you grow your own, of course, you can use it just to grow your own. And then compost as much as possible. Any kind of vegetable, you can't put meat in your compost pile, but you can put bones, you can put fish, you can put fish bones. You can put eggs, egg shells, tea bags, coffee, and then any vegetable at all. And if you just put that in a bucket out in your garage or your deck, but cover it so that no animal will get into it, and mix that with leaves or lawn clippings or anything, and just put it back in your garden, all of a sudden you get this whole recycle thing. So I really think I think that you covered it all. I just can't stand to see waste. So I was really happy that you were doing this.
And that's something I've seen for a long time, you know, in working in restaurant area things, is that so much food gets waste, that people, you know, order, you know, just the stuff that people, a lot of times people don't want to take leftovers. And I've always thought, man, it would be so great if, you know, we could box this food up and give it to, you know, the homeless. And there's actually been things with that I had worked in restaurants for, where we weren't allowed to do anything like that because there has, believe it or not, been laws that people have tried to sue restaurants, or if something was to happen, that if someone was to become ill, that the restaurant become liable for it. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. But on a brighter side, some restaurants, they've been approved that if something gets ordered, it comes out, turns out, no, I actually ordered the chicken, this is the steak. Well, if something goes back and it has not been physically touched or anything like that, that now that they're allowing it, that they can box it up and they give them out to shelters, places that need it, sort of these hand up with things, which I think is fantastic.
I want to mention something because this is interesting because my sister is doing a food drive now for the holidays for the homeless. And what was really interesting is that the nonprofit who is collecting all the food, they wanted cans, you know, and jars and all this, but not a single item can have an expiration date on it. And I think that is, that's kind of sad. You know what I mean? I think that's because of what you were saying earlier. I just know from canning, if things are canned properly, which almost everything that is in a jar is canned and it's canned properly, it doesn't really have an expiration date. Now, yes, 20 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, but not 2 years from now. So yeah. It's sad that even some of the organizations are not going to give food that is really good to people who probably need it. And so that kind of makes me sad.
And that's something, too, of thinking just on your own of ways that you can kind of help with this. Plan ahead for parties. As you know, a lot of times we have parties at your house. It's a rarity. I mean, high five if everything gets consumed. But a lot of times people think, I'd rather have extra food than run out of food. I don't want to be that host. But then you're left with a lot of leftovers, and usually it might just be you and your partner or maybe just you or not enough people, and before you know it, the food that was amazing at the party a few days later is not so hot. So plan for that. If you know, get, they sell, sets of six and for 99 cents of Tupperware, plasticware that you can make little to-go things that after the party is wrapping up, offer to your guests, take home little things. Here, would you like to take home some of this? And that way it's all sealed to go, and it's even that kind of giving. And if you're a home gardener, too, a lot of times you
and
can't
people
consume
love
all that
taking home
you don't
recipe.
Want to
do, I mean, don't
friends.
You think people love taking home leftovers if they were really good? It's like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, and the great thing, too, with leftovers, kind of have those catch-up meals. I'm really big about taking something and recreating it. I myself don't eat meat, but I know my husband one night could do steak, and the next day could turn that steak into a steak taco and then do a steak pizza. So I love with vegetables, kind of recreating vegetables. We've talked about this. The name isn't that appealing, but salad soup that basically, over time, first, that's something I learned from you that, I mean, some would literally be old, a couple-day-old salad that had the dressing already put on it. Some would just be some
vegetables.
And
that's what makes it good. That's what makes it delicious.
Good. Put it in, boil it all up, cook it down, and you will have the most amazing soups. I'll say sometimes the look of it
and they
may
taste
not,
different every time because it all is based on what was the salad
amazing.
Dressing and the vegetables that were in the salad.
Yeah, I have to say some of the most amazing soups I've ever had and I've ever made now. And I have to say it sounds when you tell people are like, what are, oh my God, you're just pouring in all these old vegetables that you've had. But everything is so amazing and it's at that sort of, that point of what am I going to do with this now? I'm either going to have to figure out something or throw it out. And they, especially with it now being fall, you can make such amazing fall, really hearty soups. You can blend it up and make it those thick purees, or you can kind of have it more of a chunkier soup. I just say vegetable-wise, you probably need little to no seasoning, anything added to it. So healthy, so delicious. And that will help do that little part of helping to waste less food is that Americans, we waste 63 million tons per year of wasted food. So 48%.
And when you were saying about, I mean, the holidays are almost upon us, and you were talking about guests and all of that. One of the things that has always been kind of an element of entertaining is if however many people you're having, only plan for food for 75% because not everybody eats that much.
But
a lot of people aren't going to eat all that
food. Plan for 150% because people will definitely drink more than the one person. So
I agree with that.
You're stuck up on that.
I do agree with that, but I don't think that you need, I think that a lot of times that's why we end up with so much leftovers when we really don't
exactly. And
need
we're always
the leftovers.
Afraid Exactly. Always afraid of, oh, I don't want that person that runs out. And it should be an honor. If something runs food-wise runs out at your house, that's fantastic. It means everyone loved your food, and now you'll be known as, oh, it was so great. You keep it like that. Offer a variety of things. And then, again, have something that you're ready to go. Offer take-homes for friends. There you go here for your late-night snack. That way you'll have less things for you, less things to clean up, less eventual garbage, and you'll have that less feeling of, oh, what a bummer. This was so great 2 days ago. I wish you can only eat so much so many times. I mean, we had enough tiramisu one time. You know, we just start giving it out. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
You've reached that point.
Well, I think that really does it. I mean, I really hate waste. I think we just have to reevaluate how it is that we look at food and what we do with it. But, you know, just be aware that your garden, no matter how big your garden is, your garden grows because of nutrients. And vegetables and bones and fish, you know, when you give your garden fish emulsion, it's just ground up fish bones and fish parts. So if you eat those kinds of things, your garden is craving it. And so make sure to do that. Make sure just to give those kinds of foods to your garden. And then what happens, it's really the circle of life. And that's what I love about it. It's the entire circle of life, and you're not wasting anything. And if you're really smart about everything, your goal is never to even have a green bin, is that your green bin is all going back into your earth. I don't even have a green bin. Everything that I do gets either recycled into my garden, or it gets a three-time composting, which is if it's meat, it might go up to animals to eat, or vegetables to animals to eat. And then after they defecate and I mix it in with hay, I bring it down to the garden and I put it back in. So it's really pretty cool, really cool stuff. So that's what I really encourage. I really think that that is the way to go. So great segment, Heather.
Definitely. We no more wasting food. Again, there's so many little things we can do just each day. And some more things you can do. If you want to check out everything going on with the radio show, with the charity, go to BeTheStarYouAre.org as well as StarSailRadio.com.
Okay, well, there you have it. So when we come back from break, we are going to be talking more with you. I am Cynthia Bryan.
And I'm Heather Brittany.
And you're listening to Star Style, Be the Star You Are. We're coming to you live on the Voice America Network. We will be right back. Don't go away.
Be the star you are. The star you are. Be the star you are. You are the star.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Are you seeking a dynamo speaker for your meeting, conference, or organization? Internationally recognized keynote speaker and New York Times bestselling author and lifestyle coach, Cynthia Bryan, will bring her energetic expertise, passionate professionalism, and ebullient personality to your event. Hailed as an expert in lifestyle, women's issues, self-help, personal balance, leadership, media, gardening, and interior design topics, Cynthia Bryan is a popular empowerment keynote speaker around the world, lecturing to audiences of 100 to 5,000. For rates and bookings, call 925-377-STAR, 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 and visit www.cynthiabryan.com. When you want the best, book Cynthia Bryan, www.cynthiabryan.com.
This business of show business is calling out to me.
Get started acting or modeling with a consultation from media coach extraordinaire Cynthia Bryan, who has guided entertainment careers for over two decades. Call 925-377-STAR or visit www.cynthiabryan.com. Pick up a copy of her award-winning book, The Business of Show Business, and start living your dreams today. Call 925-377-STAR, 925-377-STAR.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
It's Power Time on Star Style. Be the star you are with your passion, purpose, and possibility producer, Cynthia Bryan. Now, back to the Power Party.
This business of show business is calling out to
me. If you tickle it with a hoe, it will laugh into a harvest. At least that's an English saying. So we just finished, obviously, Halloween, and today is All Saints Day. So these are big events here this time of the year. And for us here in Northern California, we've just finished the grape harvest. And it's been several decades since I've worked in our vineyards picking grapes. And as a child, I drove tractor and I plowed fields and I watered the new vineyards vine by vine, driving a vintage fire truck. And one of my siblings would just open the water valve as we rolled very slowly through each row and having to stop vine by vine and water it. But then once September, October arrived, then the grape harvest would begin. Crews of 8 workers, including myself, would comb every vine with our specialty curved knife, quickly dropping bunches of ripe berries into the lugs, which would be dumped into big bins on a grape trailer. And then when the truck and trailer had a full load, we'd ride with my dad to the wineries for the delivery. And we all just loved being with my dad. I mean, that was just kind of the best. And we loved hauling the grapes to their wine destination, sitting at the winery while the bins were weighed and the smell of the fermentation. I think it probably got to us, but because we would usually end up taking a nap. But with all of this, the only thing I really never really liked, I was never a fan of picking grapes. Sometimes there would be a rattlesnake in the vines. And even though we worked on neighboring farms and we would harvest and cull and cut their peaches, their apricots, their pears, you know, prunes, the grapes just was really hard. And because of the dearth of available pickers lately here in California, a few years ago, my brother invested in a mechanical harvester. And on the final night of the Cabernet Sauvignon harvest, I rode along. I wasn't really working. I just rode along with my brother and nephew as this huge harvester. And 4 men did the work of 6 crews, and they did it with such precision and speed. So instead of picking during the heat of the day, when sometimes it could be, you know, in the 90s or 100, the harvester allows the workers to harvest at night or all night long into the early morning. Sometimes you work until 6 a.m., and they have these really bright lights, and it's just so much cooler. In fact, sometimes it gets cold. You got to put, you know, hats and coats on, and my brother even fired up these fire pits and around the area so people could warm themselves up. But so although we still have several acres of land that are handpicked, I was like, hallelujah, I love this mechanical harvesting experience. Of course, then we would go straight into walnuts. So November was walnut time, and my dad would get out the shaker, and he would hook this shaker onto a Ford tractor. This was like something he built. It had this long arm that would go up and grab a branch, shake the walnuts. Now, most of the walnuts, some of them would just still have the green hulls on them. And then that was our job when we would have to go into the dehydrator to separate. If they still had the green hull on, they had to be separated out. Walnuts, for some reason, even though my hands, and we didn't wear gloves in those days, would be absolutely this pea green color because the hulls are green on walnuts. I didn't mind picking walnuts. You know, you'd get on your hands and knees, you'd pick a 5-gallon bucket of walnuts and pour those into a bin. But the grapes, I think it might have been the rattlesnakes. But, you know, where we are up here, it has a really rich grape-growing precedence. And so this time of year, now the grapes are all done. The wineries are in the process of preparing the wines. And it's done. So now what do we do? It's time to harvest, as I said, the walnuts, pumpkins, gourds, and winter squash. And if you don't grow your own, you will really find some funky as well as colorful pumpkins and squash at your local farmer's market. and many are in the grocery stores. Now, apples and Asian pears are still hanging from trees. And if you have them, you can start picking them because the rains are coming and the rains will rot them. You can find a great recipe for making caramel or candied apples. And you can just enjoy kind of an old-fashioned treat. I mean, they really is good. This time of year is also good to cut your corn stalks for decorations to add to your Thanksgiving and your whole fall holiday idea. I pick up pine cones and acorns and all of that. And then if you had gotten hay bales for Halloween, take that hay and use it as mulch in your garden. It's going to keep down the weeds that will emerge very quickly as soon as the rains come. We've had several days of rain now, which I love, but it's amazing. I go out into the garden and already the weeds are just proliferating. So here are some tips just to kind of get you going because it's time to prepare our beds for a winter's nap. Chrysanthemums are in their absolute full glory right now. And that is a real certain beacon of the blazing fall colors. So get out into your garden and get some things done. So if you like chrysanthemums, they are a perennial. So once you plant them, they will bloom a very long time, literally until it's a lot of rain is coming down and then they wither. But don't pull them out. All you do is cut them back. And next year, you'll get even bigger blooms. It's time to fertilize your lawns now. The lawns will absorb the water and the fertilizer faster during the rains. And this is also the time to reseed during wet days. I like that Pearl's Premium. I've talked about it many times, but it really is doing a great job in my yard. And it doesn't take as much water if you're in a drought area. And it does come up very quickly. I do cover the new seed with screens so the birds don't get it. I know it advertises that the birds don't get it, but my experience is that the birds do. Pull weeds that you find in your garden before they develop any seed heads. Then create sunflowers are ending now. So if you want to create a sunflower arch, you know, it's really pretty to cut them and then you can put some, you can kind of tie them on. But if your sunflowers are done blooming, cut them off and make sure that the seed heads are dry. Then you can dump the seed heads into an egg carton and the seeds will fall into the egg carton. And I like to plant them now in autumn. Autumn is the best time for planting. Everybody thinks that the best time for planting is actually in the spring. But the reality is this is the best time of year. So you can, just like you can with hollyhocks, you can put a pencil into the ground and put each seed wherever you want it. Remember with sunflowers, they will always put their head to the east. So plant your sunflowers with an eastern exposure that you can see. So if the eastern exposure is to your neighbor's yard, you're not going to enjoy it. So you definitely want to put it to where you can enjoy it. So this is also a time to plant a variety of lettuces. You can do them in a window box or a container if you don't have any space or you live in an apartment. Just put it close to your kitchen. And that way you'll have salads that are fresh all season. And you can keep clipping these microgreens as they sprout and they'll be really, really delicate and delicious delights. If you have birdhouses that got broken or, you know, are just sort of run down, start repairing them because it'll be time for overwintering birds such as bluebirds and chickadees and nuthatches. They'll have a nice, warm, safe, cozy place to rest during these upcoming cold nights. You can increase your bird feeders in your yard because birds really consume a lot during this season. And they're going to need it. So when it gets cold, you have to increase the bird. Time to prune and tune up your garden by pruning those overgrown shrubs. And you can add 3 or 5 New Zealand flax for their spiky form and variegated colors. They are so pretty. And they actually take up a good amount of space. Now watch the antics of the lizards as they sun themselves on rocks during these final days of warmth before it starts getting cold. Stop watering any remaining autumn or summer crops, and that way you're going to force your final produce to ripen. Time to prune the berry bushes, including summer raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries, and remove any dead canes. Thin any new forming canes as well. You don't want too many. If you have too many, you're not going to have berries. So time to get out there and thin. Amend your hard clay soil if you have clay soil with large amounts of compost and any kind of soil, actually. It's really good to amend it. You can mulch to keep your temperature warm and to prevent erosion. Wood chips are always good. You can do it with, you know, some people do it with gravel or, as I said, hay is also a good mulch. You can freeze or can the rest of the vegetables. If you have very ripe tomatoes, make a tomato sauce and just, you know, you can even put little ones like in ice cube holders so that if you're just making a small amount of pasta, you just take out a couple of ice cubes. If you want to learn more about gardening, this is a great time of year to enroll in a course. Perennials can be propagated through root cuttings. And that means, you know, you can just cut some of the roots and plant them somewhere else. And a lot of perennials can be propagated just by pinching, like geraniums and pelargoniums. I just cut pieces off and then stick them in the ground. Save seeds from all your favorite annuals, herbs, and vegetables so you can gather, dry, label, and store. And that includes things like fennel, cilantro, parsley. I just go ahead and reseed because these are usually annuals. Some parsleys are perennials, but you can just reseed them. And then harvest the remainder of like your Asian pears and peppers and Swiss chard. And then of course, as I was talking that, it was the end of grape season. This is the time to be eating grapes and apples and pears and pumpkins and squash if you want to eat things that are in season. And then finally, roast some seeds from the squash and the pumpkins. You first clean it, dry it, soak it in like a salted water, and then drain the salt. Bake for 375 degrees until golden brown, and you have a really great snack. And then again, don't forget about the corn stalks and any kind of dried feathery grasses that you might have. You might be able to make a really nice a door project for your front door or something just that would say autumn. And that's it for our happy harvest autumn season. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about college and the college application process. You are listening to Cynthia Bryan. This is Star Style, Be the Star You Are. Don't go away. I will be right back.
Be the star you are. The star you are.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Business Bites. Here's Cynthia Bryan.
Are you in the habit of telling the truth? You know, when things go wrong, as they often will, the best solution to remedy the situation is just to tell the truth. If you have an argument with the client or management or a bad Yelp or Google review, you know, it's really important to go back and to respond, but to tell the truth. So here are some guidelines for dealing with the truth. First of all, state the facts as you know them and give the full picture. Be non-judgmental and be open-minded. Strive to understand the other person's point of view. You want to show some empathy. Don't bottle up your emotions. Don't be angry, frustrated, confused, scared. You know, I mean, of course you're going to feel these things, but those don't always lead to a resolution because you have to allow everyone to express themselves. Be positive and frame your comments in a positive fashion. Objections are to be expected, but preface your message with, "This may not be what you want to hear, or this may be hard to accept." And if someone gives you a bad review or a Yelp bad review, start by at least thanking them and thanking them for bringing something to your attention. Remember that relationships are based on trust. Trust and truth are married together. You are the star of your own productions. Turn your passions into profits. I'm Cynthia Bryan with another Business Bite from Star Style. For more information, go to CynthiaBryan.com, call 925-377-STAR to book a consultation. That's 925-377-STAR and CynthiaBryan.com.
Be the star you are. star you are.
The annual cost of illiteracy to American taxpayers is over $225 billion. Help increase literacy, reduce violence, and improve positive media messages by making a tax-deductible contribution to Be the Star You Are charity. A top-rated nonprofit, Be the Star You Are promotes positive role models, produces positive radio broadcasts, and donates positive books to empower women, families, and youth. Be a power partner and join our galaxy of stars. Visit our website at BeTheStarYouAre.org to make a tax-deductible donation using PayPal or send checks to P.O. Box 376, 376, Moraga, California, 94556. BeTheStarYouAre.org. Dare to care.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
It's Power Time on Star Style. Be the star you are with your passion, purpose, and possibility producer, Cynthia Bryan. Now, back to the Power Party.
This business of show business is
I'm so glad you're still here. I like having a Power Party. Of course, right now it's just me and you, so it's a party of two. Well, we're going to be talking about college because, you know, this is the time of year so many of my students are applying to colleges, and there's a lot of questions. So I was talking with a college counselor, admissions and admissions advisor for university, and one of the questions that often is if 10% of applicants are accepted to the most selective schools, doesn't that mean that I have a better than 1 in 10 chance of getting into at least one of them if I apply to all of them? Well, many college-bound high school students would like to think that was true, but unfortunately, applying to more highly selective schools, and that means schools with ultra-low acceptance rates, does not increase your chances of being accepted to one of them. If we college advisors could dispel the more is better myth, is what I was told, and guide students towards selecting colleges that are their best matches, then families would enjoy far less stress, and the teens would enjoy far less stress, and you'd get better results. So let's talk about that. So college admission rates have little to do with the probability that you will be admitted to any school. If a college has a 10% admittance rate and someone applies with a 3.7 GPA or even a 4.0, you know, and they just have okay essays and they have just a few extracurricular activities, but nothing remarkable and no legacy athletics or, you know, anything that's a hook, they don't have a 1 in 10 chance of admission. The student likely has a 0 chance of admission. So no matter how many schools with low admission rates that a student applies to, there's probably a 0 chance you're going to get into any of them. A 10% admission rate does not mean that every applicant is a 1 in 10 chance. It means that 100 or maybe slightly fewer of 1,000 applicants could be offered admission and 900 will not. So each college application is unique, and each application to each college that a student has on her list is independent of each of the other college applications. Admission officers at highly selective colleges expect to see high quality as a foundation to any application. And if you're a serious candidate, you are expected to provide a very strong high school transcript, high test scores that positively correlate with the excellence achieved on this transcript, well-written, well-conceived essays that show an authentic voice and respond fully to the prompt that was given, and a sincere, consistent, demonstrated interest in their school. Now, other factors include a very strong record of extracurricular involvement that can build upon the applicant's special abilities and talents, and that's sometimes known as hooks, I call them hooks, and a personal and career-related interest. For more selective schools, talents and achievements should be recognized beyond the local and the regional level, so sometimes that's state and national. It should also be noted that each admissions officer considers how these achievements and strengths relate to the type of class that college is constructing in that cycle. So highly selective colleges craft classes with eyes towards having a diversity of students with a variety of academic interests and talents. And with so many applicants having the same interests, for example, going to pre-law or pre-med or pursuing a degree in engineering, it's not surprising that an admission officer chooses those who present the absolute best credentials as well as the strongest hooks. So what can we do? Well, first of all, one of the things that I do to help is I help people with their essays. So if you're writing essays and you need help, we have 100% record of kids getting into this college of their choice because I can help you write a really hooked essay. Also, if you want a college advisor, they can also help students understand that even when their credentials are strong, they must present them well and with authenticity. So remember, everything has to be presented well. College advisors also can help students understand the level of competition that they face from their peers nationally and worldwide. So most important, independent education or consultants help their students understand that the best matches will include colleges where the odds of getting admission are far more in your favor than they can enjoy a 4 years of happy, successful, and productive times. So if you really need help with your essays, give me a call. You can go to CynthiaBryan.com or and email me or call 925-377-STAR or choose an admissions officer that you like to work with. You're going to find that you're going to get into the college of your choice, and that's the most important. So thanks for being great listeners. Make sure you're tuned here every Wednesday, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Network with me. And most of the time, it's Matt, my engineer. So thank you, Matt. You can change your life and make your dreams come true. For information about Star Style Productions, go to CynthiaBryan.com. For information about Be the Star You Are and our program we're doing right now for Operation Hurricane Relief for Hurricane Matthew, visit BeTheStarYouAre.org. Really consider making a donation. My aim is always to encourage, inspire, inform, amuse, and motivate. So always speak as if your dreams are already existing, because then you're going to make them come true. Until next week, when we will be celebrating once again, remember, love always wins, kindness always prevails, and smiles keep you happy. My name is Cynthia Bryan. I encourage you to go out into the world and always be the star you are. Have a wonderful autumn week. Dream, create, inspire, make a difference. And most of all, be with us on Wednesday, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Network. And join us here at Star Style. Be the star you are. Make it a great one.
Be the star you are. The star you are.
It's been a pleasure bringing you our life-changing program, Star Style, Be the Star You Are. We have you on our radar as it's our goal to inspire, inform, entertain, and motivate you to be the star you were born to be. For more information, visit www.starstyleradio.com. And to make a donation to the charity, go to www.BeTheStarYouAre.org. Ignite the flame that burns brightly within. Take charge of your life and coach yourself to success with our dynamic hosts, Cynthia Bryan and Heather Brittany, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Voice America Empowerment Channel for another serving of champagne for the spirit and a power boost to live with Star Style. Until we celebrate together next week, be the star you are.